And back here in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for KFSK's news department. I'm joined in the studio today by three members of the Planning and Zoning Commission. We have Chair Chris Fry and also members Dave Kensinger and Richard Burke, and the staff to the Planning Commission, Liz Cabrera. And welcome to you all. Thank you for coming in. This is a special call-in show that the commissioners asked to have on. They want to get the word out a little bit about the new proposed development code for the borough of Petersburg, what it means, what it will do, and remind people that there is a public hearing on this topic coming up tonight at 6 p.m. This is your chance for input if you'd like to see changes to it or find out more about what it does. We're going to dig into it right now and talk a little bit about the details about the new development code, what it means for you, and you're welcome to call in with your questions or comments. Reminder, our phone number is 772-3808. We'll put you on the air and try our best to answer. If these people don't know what the new code does, I don't think anybody does. But welcome to you all. I'll start off with the chair of the Planning Commission, Chris Fry. Why is this happening? What is this new code? Why is it happening? And why did you take this on?
Well, the old code had been kind of added on to and modified over the years and was getting to the point that it was kind of hard to find things because things have been stuck in various different locations. So we decided it would be a good idea to start with a clean code that has got things real simplified and easy to find and laid out in a better structure so that you can really look at a table and see what applies to your property.
Okay. And this really is pretty far-reaching. It covers property, what you can do on it, the kind of buildings you can put in different places. What else does it cover? What topics? Dave Kensinger, jump on in.
One of the main things it does is it makes the planning and zoning process a lot easier for people if you want to do a project. So in the past, if you wanted to just do a simple addition or, I mean, what it does is you can bypass the planning and zoning process, just go straight to Joe, show him the plans, show Liz the plans. If they have any issues with it, they'll send it out like they always have. All the neighbors will be notified. And then if none of the neighbors have any problems with it, if it doesn't look like it's that big of a deal, then you won't have to go through the whole planning and zoning process, which can sometimes take a couple months.
Especially if there's no quorum of the commission for a little while in the summertime or something.
Right. It can take as long as 3 months. And understandably, people don't want to have their projects delayed. So it'll make it a lot easier for people to navigate the process.
Okay. So to cover that topic, so the normal notifications would go out if I had a variance request or a variance application, normal notifications would go out to neighboring property owners, Liz, and is that process still in place? Or
right. So this kind of shortened variance procedure, which we're calling an adjustment procedure. There are certain criteria that you'd have to meet to be able to use it, which is it's what we would call a minor variance. So let's say you wanted to add onto your house and you wanted to go a foot or two into your setback. The current code doesn't differentiate between whether you have to go 10 feet into the setback or 1 foot into the setback. So what we did was set, so if it's, 10% within the variance area, then instead of doing the full-blown public hearing and everything else, we would have an administrative review, which means we would review the request in our office. We would send out notification to neighbors within 600 feet. The notice would also go in the newspaper. If there wasn't strong objections, and when we say strong objections, it's not just somebody not liking it. We have certain criteria that we have to follow. If a neighbor raises an issue that falls in that criteria, then the staff has two choices, or three choices really. You can still approve the variance. We could say no to the variance, and then the applicant has an opportunity to appeal that. Or we could just say, this is more complicated than we thought, and maybe it should just go to the Planning Commission, and then the Planning Commission could go through its public hearing process. So there's still some safeguards in there and some recourse for people depending on which side of the issue they're on.
Okay. All right. So it could still go through that longer process then with the commission involved. And you guys like that change, not having to sign off on every request? I'm seeing some head nodding here.
Yes. You know, it's not so much from our perspective, but it's from the property owner's perspective. It's a lot of work for them, you know, to try and attend a couple meetings, do a public hearing, you know. So I think for the public, it's good.
Okay. Richard Burke, let's get you involved in the conversation here. Pull that microphone over close to you, if you would. And this new proposed code is hundreds of pages long. What do you see in it that you want to highlight, or what are some changes that you like or don't like? Or
I like the new medium density residential that comes about. We're not going to do the maps yet until after the code goes through the borough assembly and stuff.
Okay, let's take a moment on that just to highlight too, because I think that's a concern of people's, is that you are changing zoning in town right now with this proposed code change, but that's not the case.
No, that's not the case. We're just creating some new zoning classes.
Okay, but that will happen at some point. You will actually sit down, look at the map for zoning in service area one and say, we're going to make this area new light industrial and this area waterfront industrial, and actually make that change down the road at some point?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know when? Or
I think that's the next step after the new code gets approved.
Okay. But you are creating some new zones that people or that property could be. And you said medium density residential. Is that a new one? Or
And we're also going to allow tiny homes and detached accessory dwelling units that hadn't been allowed before, and manufactured housing. That's a big one.
Part of the recommendations out of the comprehensive plan to get a little bit more affordable, low-cost housing in the downtown area?
Well, throughout service area one.
Okay. There's new industrial classifications. What did the comprehensive plan recommend about the industrial land in town, and how does this address that? And Dave, we'll kick that to you.
Well, there's, and correct me if I'm wrong, Liz, because I probably will be here. There's three different classifications that are different. There's waterfront, which is basically the industrial property that's along the waterfront. And that got designated, or that got identified in the comprehensive plan.
And that will put a priority specifically on waterfront use, right?
Correct. The one takeaway that I got from that entire comprehensive plan process was the consultants said, don't let what has happened in all the other fishing communities in Washington, where after a few years, you basically have the entire waterfront with a series of residentials, condos, apartments, and then you don't have any land that you need if you ever want to do like work on vessels, or if you want to have upland storage for vessels, or if you want to have businesses that service vessels. And then the next classification, and I forget the name of it, but it would probably be the areas that currently are mixed, where under the old code, when people thought it was industrial, that meant, well, I can build a house, I can do whatever I want. And so one of the things that I've seen in my short tenure on the commission is conflicts that arise between people that are rightly wanting to do industrial activities right next to people that have residential housing. And so the thought was that those existing areas would move into what's called a light industrial. And basically that means you can't have a rock pit, a sawmill, something that's real loud and that would definitely impact your neighbors. And then the regular industrial land, which we really have a lack of in this community, and part of the purpose of this process is trying to identify more industrial property, or property that can be used for industrial, would be for whatever industrial process, you know, you could do, you know, whatever you want. But the main difference, and this is one thing that is substantially different than the existing code is in an industrial property, you can only have a 600 square foot caretaker's dwelling associated with it. So in other words, you can't buy an industrial lot and then put a residential house on it. Mm-hmm. And that is probably one of the most controversial things that that's in this designation right now.
And something you guys have dealt with in the recent past for requests for permits to allow that for more residential units on industrial land, right?
Well, what's happened is people have built rather large residential and had like an industrial use associated with it. Mm-hmm. So what the code's going to do is if it's industrial, yes, it's going to be industrial. The only exception to that is for bunkhouses. So like if a cold storage wanted to put a bunkhouse in an industrial lot, then they'd be able to do that.
Okay.
But light industrial would allow more residential uses than the standard industrial. The industrial is the one that is limiting to the 650 square feet.
Okay. So just to, do you foresee putting in, when you do the change to the zoning map, the light industrial classification for land that's pretty close to residential areas? Is that a reasonable assumption that you guys will be looking at? Or, I mean, I'm just walking this a step further.
Yeah. So I think we've identified, or at least I've identified three different places that are likely, you know, mm-hmm. And so there's what we would propose out of the staff, but then ultimately, of course, the Planning Commission and the Assembly are going to have the final say on that. But I would say an area like the water side of Scow Bay Loop Road, where it's industrially zoned, but you have predominantly residential with some kind of light industrial mix in there, would be a good candidate for that light industrial category. So you would still allow those residential uses, but take out those really intense, heavy industrial uses that would have a negative impact on the industrial. Another area, which is actually kind of the opposite, is Upper Cornelius, where it's residential, but it really is more of an industrial use where there's predominantly warehouses in that area. So that might be another area that would be good for a light industrial. So it's in keeping with how it's being used, but you would still allow some, you know, that residential development there. So okay. Those are two examples. Beyond that, I think those are the two cases that I sort of think of. Maybe Hungerford might have a case for some light industrial, but that's about it.
Okay. I think the code also makes changes and cleans up things for home occupations, businesses that people have in their homes. Are there major differences in how that will happen? That's another thing you guys as commissioners frequently deal with, I think.
Yes. And I'm a little confused on it myself, but what we've done is we've created a code that allows home occupations without having to go through the planning and zoning process if it meets certain criteria. And it's basically you can't have any employees. You can't have, you know, you can't be doing retail. And you're limited to the number of how much traffic you can have in and out of the residence. Is that the...
Yeah, that's basically...
So it's still acting like a home and not as a business.
Right.
More
and,
so.
And then if you want to do something, you know, that's maybe more than that, then yes, you'd have to go through the planning and zoning process. And then right now, we're still talking about how many square feet you can use for the home occupation. I think right now in the code, it's 525 square feet. And I propose 400 square feet. So essentially a 20 by 20 room.
Okay. What else is important to highlight about this new code that people should know about at this point? You're still making changes, I know. Taking suggestions from people and...
Well, right now, I mean, there'll be a lot more opportunities for the public to have input. But it would be helpful if we could get as much input on this now, because we're going to have our meeting tonight and then we're going to have one more meeting. And at that meeting, which will also be a public hearing. And after that meeting, we're going to vote on it as a commission and then we'll send it up to the Assembly. And since it has to be, you know, into an ordinance, then there'll be three readings at the assembly level.
But that at that point, that'll be your final recommendation that you send up to the assembly.
Right. So if people want to have as much impact on it and changes, now is the time to do it.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We have the meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, and then we have a meeting again in 2 weeks at noon.
Okay. March 6th.
Okay, so, and people can email in comments as well to you, Liz?
Actually, there's different ways. They can go on the borough website, and on the left-hand side, there's a link that says Petersburg Development Code Revision.
Okay.
And you can submit comments online. There's an email address there also. You can also submit them in writing, and the addresses are all there, of course, come to the hearing. So, and if you're not an online person, there's hard copies available at the public library and also at the municipal building.
Okay. We should mention, too, for people outside of Service Area 1, the old city limits of Petersburg, this code does not extend zoning, but it does extend platting authority. Real briefly, what is that, and how will that work? Liz, is that your new job? You'll be doing subdivision layouts in the greater borough, or
no?
No, okay.
Not exactly.
No. Nope.
So when Petersburg became a borough, part of the authority that comes with that is platting authority. The assembly at that time delegated that platting authority for areas outside of Service Area 1 back to the Department of Natural Resources. So that authority currently sits with DNR. Under the proposed code, that authority would come back to the borough, and the Planning Commission would review and approve subdivisions as it does in Service Area 1. And I think when the Assembly initially looked at this, we didn't really have a provision to deal with remote subdivisions, and that's what this proposed code creates. It's similar to what the state looks at, but it basically creates a type of subdivision that is appropriate for remote areas. So you don't have those requirements like road building and water and sewer extension and some other things that just don't make sense, you know, especially off Metcalf Island. So, it would give that authority back to the Petersburg Borough. I think in the end, it'll be less expensive for people outside of Service Area 1 to go through the borough. And in general, I would say the process would be faster than going through the state.
Is that totally administrative review, or does that go before the Planning Commission for new subdivision layout or anything? Or
just with, like, if Service Area 1, there is a public hearing and it goes through the Planning Commission. The exception is we currently have on the book something called a minor lot consolidation. So if you're doing something really minor where you're not creating a new lot or just like deleting one line, we can do that administratively. But most things go through having to do with land division go through the Planning Commission.
Okay. And minimum lot size for that property outside of Service Area 1 for those rural subdivisions?
So for remote subdivisions, there are some potential for exceptions, but in general, you would have a 1 acre minimum lot size. And again, there's some criteria in there, like if you're providing a community wastewater or water system where you could go smaller. And the commission has the discretion under the proposed code to go smaller or require something larger if there's something about the topography or the landscape or something that would necessitate that.
Okay. And by taking that authority, assuming that authority, does the borough then have oversight of new state subdivisions, for instance, if there's a land sale out of mental health or university? And do you have review and minimum lot size requirements for those?
We do have, we would have review authority over mental health trusts and university. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that, I guess, how that plays out and what they think okay. about that. But we would have the review authority of that and signing off on their plats.
Okay. Interesting. What else, guys? What parts of the code have we not talked about that people should know about? Richard, any input down on that end? No?
No.
Anything you'd like to see changed or You like it?
Well, I proposed an amendment to modify the accessory dwelling unit size per or depending on the lot size. I feel that the larger the lot, the less the difference in size between the accessory dwelling unit and the primary residence matters.
Okay.
And we'll be voting on that on the 6th.
I was just going to say, Joe, that it's a big code and it's can be confusing, especially if it's not something people are used to working through. And so if you haven't had to go through the rezoning process or you haven't actually ever had to get a variance or something, it might be confusing to sort of tackle it all at once. But I would encourage people to get on the website or go by the library, and we have a slew of one-page summaries that give you the highlights of the changes. And that's just a good place to start to familiarize yourself with what the new code looks like and what the goals of the new code are. And then from there, if there's something that, you know, catches your attention, oh, you know, what about this? I've always thought about doing this on my property. Then from there, you know, drop an email or make a phone call and ask. Or the text of the code is actually all online as well, so you could dig through and read it as you like.
Okay. Dave or Chris, any final words? Nope. All right. Well, we'll hear more, hopefully, from people and you guys tonight, 6 p.m., Borough Assembly Chambers. Thank you very much for coming in. You're listening to KFSK in Petersburg.